Welcome to FWAR. Steven, you get minus 2 points.
That's right. You're doing points this week.
It's a cutthroat round already.
Getting us off to a running
James,
start.
You get plus 2 points.
Is it because I start at the same time as James?
Steven, you get minus 2 points.
Hold on. I need to get on this.
I'm kind of worried to say anything.
I'm Ryan Evans.
I'm James McAnally.
James, you get plus 2 points.
I'm Steven Zarita.
I am Michael 0 points Ornelas.
And we are From Under a Rock, a podcast where we talk about movies that some of us have not seen. But first, let's talk about some things. Some goings on in our lives. James, since you're currently in the lead with points,
all right.
Why don't you start us out?
I'm ready to go here.
What's been going on with you, man?
I recently... As you guys know, I just moved out here to wonderful sunny California, and I recently got a forwarded envelope from one of my former roommates, and it has, what's going on over there?
We're just
nothing.
Enthralled.
Anyways, I got a forwarded envelope from one of my roommates. It included my last pay stub from my former job, and a letter from the Travis County Sheriff's Office. Apparently I had jury duty like a month ago and not go to that. So I'm going to have to give them a call and tell them.
In Texas? You had jury duty?
In Texas, yeah. Like a month ago. And obviously I was not there, so I'm going to have to give them a call and tell them that I just now heard about it.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Tell me how that ends up. I think today or yesterday I was thinking, like, what happens in that specific situation?
It was because you thought it that it happened, Steven, and I hate you.
Well, if we hear from you at all in the future, then we'll know it worked out.
So. Make us your one phone call.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're going to.
You're just going to laugh at me.
No, like, you have to wait until we're having the podcast. Then you call into the podcast.
Do I get an hour's worth of phone call?
No. No, you don't.
Oh,
you're just going to be the like special guest for
I'll
that week.
I'll be the special guest.
How will you have watched the movie?
I'm sure I can. There are ways to get a movie into prison.
Yeah. Don't they have. You can get anything into prison.
I'm pretty sure you can stick any movie up your butt.
Steven, well, now it's all
Steven,
digital.
What's going on with you?
I went home to Texas for Labor Day. It was amazing.
Me too.
Short trip. Oh, it's my
Steven's
turn. My turn. My turn.
Minus 50 points for Ryan.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I went back to Texas. I family has a ranch up in the hill country, and I got to go relax there, and I had the best 12-hour sleep I have had in months. I caught up on, like, just weeks and weeks and weeks of really short sleeps. So it was relaxing. Fun stuff.
Cool. Gotta love those 12-hour sleeps.
Yeah.
They're the best.
And good home cooking. Amazing.
I do those whenever I can.
Whenever I go to Texas, it's pretty much my family's goal to never make me have home cooking. Which, my mom is, like, a really good cook, but, you know, when I'm there, it's for such a short time that it's all about however much of my favorite restaurants we can cram into that short amount
nice.
Of time.
I guess that's nice. I don't know. I always miss the home cooking.
Well, you're on a ranch.
Yeah.
You kind of have to.
Yeah.
You got to drive, but, like, 50 miles to...
I went home thinking, like, I was going to get a bunch of, you know, I did get Whataburger. My mom will always, like, have some sort of Texas food.
I had Whataburger twice, yeah. Of course, I got back here and realized that I'd forgotten to have Five Guys, too. Which,
is Five Guys not out here?
No, I think it is. No, it's a couple hours away, the closest one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also the guy out here. I've driven like an hour and a half for a hot dog out here. Yeah.
Was it like a really good hot dog like you heard about on the Food
Network?
Yeah,
I'm sure you can find hot dogs closer than that.
There's a Wiener Schnitzel down the road.
No, it was Portillo's, which is a Chicago's chain, and I am from Chicago before I was in Austin, and it's worth the drive.
If it's worth I've heard of Portillo's, yeah. I think that's worth it. There's a Chicago restaurant near here, like around the corner, that I want to try.
I think it's good. I've been there.
It's...
Is their deep dish any good? I haven't had their deep dish yet.
I don't know.
I'll have their deep dish soon.
It can't be Chicago without deep dish.
Exactly.
Michael, how are you?
I'm good.
Plus another point for James.
Boom!
Nice. I started a full-time job yesterday.
Woo! Yay.
Woo!
I'm finally...
Me too, actually. I forgot to mention that.
James, this is my time to shine.
Sorry.
You mentioned it last week, I think.
Yeah, well, yesterday was my first day.
You said you got it.
Oh.
Yeah, so I started yesterday. I've just been doing, like, training and stuff on the computer and watching a lot of, like, business videos.
Oh, tell them about that one.
That's my plan. So I'm watching just hours of videos, and there's a 30-minute video on safety, and it's, like, over all the different types of safety, like electrical, bloodborne pathogens, all the things you can encounter, mechanical, electric, like everything. And it's framed that there is this one guy teaching a class of full-grown adults asking the questions that kindergartners could answer. wait, but should I put my finger in an electrical socket? Like, not exactly that, but pretty much that.
And then everyone goes, no.
No, and then the guy actually, he's like, this is what happens, and he does it, and then he, like, turns, like, black and ashy, and, like, you know, like Donald Duck after he shoots himself with a shotgun or something. That really happened. Daffy Duck, you're right.
Does he shoot himself with a shotgun in the video as another safety demonstrate?
Gun safety is not a thing they address in a hotel training video. They did say how to suspect meth labs in rooms. Anyways, so back to this video. It's this guy teaching like a 30
minute.
Very
real threat.
Well, you've watched so much. You watched so much Breaking Bad. You would know.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed about the signs.
Are they trying to clear the room of termites? Because that could be a sign.
That could be it.
Just fumigating.
So this
that's the word I was looking for. Plus another point, James.
Wow!
So this video, at the end of it, this guy's gone over a bunch of different safety things, and he leaves his class, and he walks out, and the people in the class are like, wow, he was really good. I'm just glad he didn't electrocute me or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, another guy walks in, and he's like, hi, I'm Dave. I'll be your safety course instructor. And then they're like, safety course instructor? What are you talking about? We just went through the whole curriculum with Sam, and he just left. He's like, Sam? Sam Hudson? He died 10 years ago.
I knew it. I was like, he died.
In an electrical accident.
Wait. I knew it. I was calling it. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
My mind was blown. And if we watched that video for this podcast, a double plus.
Oh, God.
A double plus. Wow. Also,
that's off also, the scale.
The first A double plus.
But also an F.
At the same time.
Also the first F. Wow.
Yes. It would have broken so many barriers, but... It didn't make it to
that's
here.
That's fabulous.
That it is, was
somebody.
Amazing.
Somebody decided to take like a creative leap with that safety.
But it's
video.
Like, I just imagine you know the people who made it are the most boringly creative people you could ever find. You know, like, oh, let's try and think of a way to make safety fun. It's like that episode of Parks and Rec, the guy who's teaching people the tax software. Steven, do you know what I'm talking about?
Like TurboTax or the name of the episode?
If he doesn't know, deduct points.
I don't.
Actually, Parks and Rec is on my list of things to watch.
How many was that?
He said that's okay.
Plus 2 points.
Oh, plus two. I was honest.
Yeah.
Nice. Nick Offerman's cool.
I love Nick Offerman. Oh, I just saw a movie called, I guess, I don't know. Am I allowed to talk about other movies other than?
I think so. Yeah.
Sure.
Michael just talked about his hotel.
We haven't
hotel
even gotten
movie,
to your thingy so. Yet.
I would just like to say real quick before we move on from it, the movie looks like it may have actually been made before The Sixth Sense came out, which would make it
infinitely
revolutionary.
Infinitely more badass.
And that nothing has changed in the hotel's safety protocols.
Was Bruce Willis?
Since 1996 or whatever.
No, they actually do have ghosts teach it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What, like people who are hired
they've
to be
embraced
ghosts
it.
Come out and teach you how to do things
mm-hmm.
occasionally? Oh, that's cool. All right.
So while in Houston, I just saw a movie called In a World. Have you guys heard about this?
Is it like In a World?
It's exactly that.
Oh, cool. Is it the Don LaFontaine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's a movie about the daughter of one of the most famous movie trailer voiceover narrators. And it's fiction. It's
right,
not based
right.
on a true story or anything. But they do, at the beginning of the, Stephen was like nerding out over Don
really
LaFontaine.
Sad. I love Don LaFontaine.
He's freaking awesome.
He's the one who died recently.
Yeah,
right?
2009.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie, it shows like clips from his Aflac commercials and some other interviews of Don LaFontaine.
Like that
and
you did your own reverb there.
Fontaine.
Don LaFontaine doesn't need anybody to do his own reverb. That's how amazing his voice is.
In a world where... But yeah, so that's the thing. They're using those real-life clips to set up the backstory of this movie. And it was really, really solid. Lake Bell from Children's Hospital. Do you guys know her?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
Love that show.
Michael does. I didn't like her very much in Children's Hospital, but she was fantastic in this movie. Writing, directing, starring, everything.
Oh, wow.
She was really great.
Cool. Tangent.
And Nick Offerman was in it as well,
nice.
So that's why I thought of it.
Was he Don LaFontaine?
No, he wasn't. Don LaFontaine is dead at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Fun story. I learned respect for women from Nick Offerman. I was on a shoot that he was acting in, and there was a nude scene being filmed out back, and like everyone but like the director and the actors involved were supposed to be like holed up in the garage and like not peeking and stuff, and anytime I would move at all, Nick Offerman would like single me out like, hey, you need to be respectful, there's a topless woman over there. She needs to not feel like she's being spied on. And I was like, I respect women now.
One question, how pervy was your mustache back then? Because that really, it really affects how people treat you.
This was pre-stash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He just got that look about him.
He just had the sixth sense about creepers.
We're all linking it together now. Have you guys ever seen Pablo Francisco's Little Tortilla Boy?
Little Tortilla Boy.
It's basically making fun of that guy, and it emulates every summer blockbuster in one bit. It's fantastic. If you guys haven't seen it, go on YouTube. It's there.
Check it out.
What you guys should have already seen is the movie for this week.
Which was?
Sneakers.
It's not about shoes. That's actually the tagline.
I don't think they even say sneakers in the movie.
It's not about shoes anymore.
The first draft totally was about shoes. They're like, guys, this isn't working. They need something else to steal.
I can't do my movie trailer voice.
So James and I had vaguely seen it a long time ago.
8 or 9 years ago.
I did end up remembering more than I thought I did about this movie. But I want to hear what you guys thought of it first, Michael and Steven.
It was really good. I managed to not. I knew absolutely nothing about this movie going in, which was good. It was kind of. I don't think I knew anything about Bullworth, but I think Michael, you might have like teased what it was about briefly, or like with a sentence, when we watched this movie. Ryan, you said, "Oh, we're watching Sneakers," and I didn't know anything about that until I saw the movie.
I think there was complete silence from both you and I because neither of us had seen it nor heard of it.
Yeah, we didn't know how to react. We didn't know to go like, "Oh yeah, I've heard a lot about that one," or anything. But it was a lot of fun. It's what was that? Italian Job, was that the movie I said to remember in the middle? Yeah. So in the middle
the
of the
one
movie
with
I
the
said,
Mini
"Remember the Mini Cooper movie, Rob." So this is a really cool movie. What year was this made?
92.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So 21 years ago. Woo. I don't know why that deserves a woo. It's kind of like a very slow, in a good way, heist movie at parts. And I say good in a good way because it builds suspense. So it's been forever since I saw The Italian Job, but you know, that movie was like really in your face, and you know, they're chasing around in the car, and like they had to get out of there really fast, they had to get in there really fast, out of there really fast. And this movie has a scene where the main character has to move as slowly as possible.
Yeah, it's a very different heist sensibility. Yeah.
And the suspense is that he's moving as slowly as possible, because if he goes any faster, the alarms will go off. But while this is happening, the guards are getting on to him downstairs and getting ready to go up.
It's countercutting to scenes of guards with shotguns running up and down stairwells and stuff. And then there's Robert Redford.
Yeah.
It worked slowly reaching out. Yeah.
Worked amazingly well.
They're like, hurry, but don't hurry.
And great cinematography, too. They really used their lenses well, I thought.
I thought cinematography overall was really good. I thought it got questionable at some certain parts, though. It just seemed like they kind of went a little overboard on some parts.
Like which parts?
The one part in particular that I remember is when Redford reunites with his old friend, played by Kingsley, as an adult. Mm-hmm. And he wants to talk to him in private, so they go in that little antechamber.
Oh, yeah.
And then they sit down, and it's a really long take, but instead of like, you know, getting
moving in
more intimate, it's slowly like backing, like we're backing out of the room for some reason.
Yeah.
Over the course of this minute long take,
like it's about to fade to black and say directed by Jerry Bruckheimer or something.
Basically. but then after it reaches its apex of tracking out, then we cut back into a random medium shot. Like,
I noticed a lot of that. There wasn't like the typical progression of shots. The scene I remember ladder at the end. It cut to a long shot of Robert Redford, right in the middle of like the intense part of the scene.
I think they did. They were definitely moving the camera around a lot, and there are definitely some of the expositional scenes. The characters are talking to each other and they're moving around the rooms. Like, when he goes and meets, previous love interest,
Liz,
played by Mary McDonnell,
AKA
the first lady,
the president,
the first lady
of Independence Day
and the president in Battlestar Galactica. Okay.
Oh so yeah, that's
we're
true.
We're all right.
Wow. I'm ashamed. I didn't think
I got
of that
both,
first.
I got both references.
Mm. They're in the music room and they're just kind of, you know, running circles around the camera, and the camera's trying its best to keep up with them. It's kind of cool.
Can we talk about Ben Kingsley's running?
Yes, we can.
What running?
Jaunting.
He doesn't run in this movie. He jaunts.
He floats. I would argue that he floats.
Because I thought about that like... It was interesting to see his character from the beginning of the movie to the end, because he's like basically a radical hippie dude at the beginning. Mm-hmm.
And a magician.
And then like super proper, meticulous sort of dude and a magician. I mean, that's just added creepiness.
I bet he made the chip in the box disappear by accident. He was God dang it. I'm so good. I fooled myself. You can't trust anyone.
Like a deleted scene where he like literally walks up to Marty and he's just like, here, take this. What are you giving me this for? You'll see later.
I'll get him this time. He'll never know I planted this on him. What do I have on me?
He won, but I made him win.
So yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I get where you're going.
Minus a point.
Such a guess.
Because I didn't see where you're going.
It was all about him making. Never mind.
Because he always.
It's all in the reflexes.
He was always like, you always win.
As much as I love Ben Kingsley, I just thought his character in this movie was pretty indecipherable.
Mm-hmm. I had that exact same note.
Well, please take over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his character didn't really do anything for me, mostly because they, I feel that they withheld him too long to be like a big reveal at the end, and then that just made the majority of the movie he's a non-factor.
He had to kind of explain what he's been doing in the past 12 years or whatever,
yeah,
and in about a minute's worth of time.
If it was only 12 years, he aged horribly.
Yeah.
Was it? I thought it was 12. Was it?
The first scene started in 1969, so it's never mind. That's more than that. 23 thing. Years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to read some of my notes from this movie. One, there's a guy in the credits whose name is Blonde Rhino Spaniel.
Oh, yeah.
That's a person who exists.
That wasn't a production company. That's a person.
It was listed amongst like flashing names of actors.
Well, I just remember right after you said that, I'm pretty sure a production company came up. So,
well, if it's not a person's name, that will
it's still a great name.
That would be an amazing
kill my
name.
Mood.
It's still a great name.
Your firstborn child company. Should be named that.
Don't tell me what to do with my children.
Okay, then I'm just saying.
What else you got?
I thought that the movie was trying really hard to make the smart or talented characters insultingly so.
It sounds familiar.
Like on like the opening scene with Liz and like the little piano girl. Mm-hmm. Like he walks in and like there's some virtuoso kid playing piano, but you don't see that. You think it's Liz. But you can presume that because she's the teacher, she's better almost. And then you see on as they're like walking around the room, there's like a chalkboard with music written on it, and some of it didn't even make sense. Like there were just two bass clefs on one line.
I don't know.
You can't judge.
You know, I think that's totally fine of you to notice. You know, you being having a lot of experience with music, but I don't think that qualifies as them trying too hard to put this stuff in the
background.
There
were other things.
And the other thing you said, you know, about how you're assuming that she is this amazing piano player. It's not really in your face, you know.
No, I'll admit
that. You
can
assume that.
In the same vein, I thought Janik, the scientist they steal the black box from, his lecture, I think the jargon he was using, just they were like, what are a bunch of hard sounding words? Let's have him say all those things.
I'm going to withdraw my vote for Ben Kingsley and just call him the worst character in the movie. He was just a MacGuffin, basically. He existed to build this the black box, and that was about it.
So other way too talented people, Redmond being very, very good with Scrabble pieces at finding anagrams. The blind dude sees pretty much everything that's actually important.
Yeah. Well, he would kind of look right at the people he was talking to for most of his scenes.
Yeah.
And I was confused for like the first third of the movie. Like, is he blind? Is he not blind?
Is he partially blind?
I know he can read Braille. Is he just have trouble reading?
He just likes reading
How
Braille.
How blind is he? You know? Yeah.
And then Dan Aykroyd busts ghosts.
He's so good with his other senses, though, is what they're hinting at.
I guess.
And he does have trouble sometimes.
But then there's like there's a couple scenes at the end, and maybe it's because it's his first time driving. But like when he was driving and when he's talking to Darth Vader at the end. Yes, I'm going to refer to him as Darth Vader. Take all the points away that you want. then he's finally like looking like, where do I look? Where's this guy? Yeah. I can't hear the direction.
So actually, I'm forgetting the actor's name.
He's Darth Vader.
No.
James Earl Jones.
No, he's Darth Vader.
I'm going to say that
Mufasa was played by
James
Darth Vader.
Earl Jones scene was amazing. It just
David Strathairn. Strathairn?
For the blind guy. What was his name? Was it Sid?
Whistler is his character's name. I actually thought that his performance might have been my favorite out of this pretty talented crew, this ensemble crew. I think, you know, there was just something about him that caught my eye throughout the movie.
minus
a point, Michael. Unintentional puns.
I agree, actually. I think his... Yeah, was just something interesting about his character, you know?
I was just trying to imagine trying to pretend like I was blind and, you know, like how your eyes have to move in unrealistic ways in order to convince the audience. And he was pulling it off. He was nailing it pretty perfectly whenever I saw him.
I was thinking about that too initially.
I didn't see that.
I felt like sometimes there were shots where it's like he may be making eye contact there or something. But for the most part, I think he did a pretty good job.
Well, they also got to cover him up with sunglasses, so any like awkward looks he'd give, they could like, you know, totally mask them.
Not that often, though.
It was only
three tops.
Yeah.
Scenes.
Really?
Yeah.
For some reason, when I picture him in that movie, I see is him with glasses.
The only, I mean, there's the one scene where, you know, he's discovering what the chip is. I think that was mostly just for the cinematography's sake, yeah. though, to have the code show up on his glasses for that one time.
I mean, there were a couple other things. He was dancing in glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was funny.
But I mean, that's just style.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Do you not dance with sunglasses?
He wears his sunglasses at night.
You know, I always wear sunglasses because the sun never sets on a badass.
Moving on.
Michael, do you have more notes? I have some.
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I thought that the use of sound, because they played it up early and being like a thing with Whistler, when they used it to like narrow down which bridge he crossed and like basically sonically map out where Marty's character was taken while in a trunk, I thought that was actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
It was creative, at least.
That's actually the scene that I remember the most from seeing it previously.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, definitely.
But the best scene in the movie was the James Earl Jones scene for me. it felt like kids on Santa's lap.
Basically was, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that he should have just gotten to the point where he was like, okay, everything the light touches will be yours one day.
But what about that shadowy place?
Don't. No. No, but then they'd go there. They'd go to the elephant graveyard just to show, because, you know, they're rebellious or something, and then get chased around by hyenas. But then Darth Vader would come in and throw them down the Death Star. And if we watched it on Blu-ray.
Threw the Emperor down the Death Star shaft. Yes.
Yeah. He basically threw the hyenas.
You have to specify which Death Star.
What are we even talking about now?
Sorry, I mix up my James Earl Jones movies.
That's understandable.
If we watched on Blu-ray.
To be fair, you just got diagnosed with the confusing James Earl Jones movies disease. Itis. So, yeah. That's
the inflammation of the James Earl Jones.
I feel like you should know this.
Yes.
Anything else?
Sorry, I forgot in favor of other whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm tired, guys.
I have to say, you were mentioning sound. I thought the sound design was great. I agree with you about like how they you know, set up, like, okay, sound's important because this one character's blind. And they all kind of have skills that are set up towards the beginning and pay off at the end, except for the, what was the girl's name? The love interest, Liz. Although they like allude that she used to be part of the team, so I was okay with that. But like, I just noticed, at least in the earlier half of the movie, maybe I got so immersed I didn't pick up on it later, but did you hear like awkward sound edits? Because I heard some awkward sound edits.
I definitely did. I know what you're talking about.
Like, they would take one word out of a sentence and it would be from another take.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could hear the difference in the room tone and
there's just
the performance.
Sometimes I would just see like their mouths would just be moving way too much for what they were saying or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I noticed it a little bit.
It was actually a Japanese movie, and we did our best to overdub.
Really good thing.
Yeah.
They had to use the voice key, so, like, when the editors were cutting that together, they were like, this is fun, and then they just started doing it with, like, room tone, and like, let's see where we can ADR.
Let's see what else we can chop up in here. And then there's one scene towards the beginning, and this is really nitpicky, but, like, one of the characters walks away from the microphone, and it's okay if they get softer in volume, but he felt distant, as in, like, I could tell that he moved away from the boom pole guy, and it was getting really roomy. Really roomy. Hmm. I don't know why. I just logged that. I was like, technical
some
issues.
Swimmy sound going on. Yeah.
Swimmy sound.
Do you guys want to talk about the music a little bit while we're...
Yeah.
I would love to, actually. That was one of my notes.
So this is an Alan Silvestri score, right?
James Horner, actually.
Oh, James Horner. I'm sorry.
I'd like to say, hey, listeners, we take notes. We're professional. Look at us go.
They can't see.
I don't have any notes in front of me.
What are you talking about? We all keep it up in our heads.
I am literally doing that.
I love James Horner as a composer. Was not expecting smooth jazz to accompany this heist movie. I felt really good while they were, you know.
It wasn't even like saxophone, trumpet, jazz. It was it oboe or clarinet? Something in that vein. Something.
I could have sworn there was a sax in there somewhere, but it was probably oboe.
It was mostly. I think it was mostly oboe, or clarinet.
One of those. Two.
I get those.
One of those reedy, cool sounding instruments. Yeah.
When I think jazz, I think oboe.
Really?
No.
Okay. Scared
it's
me
a difficult person. Instrument, though.
Can we
hear? I've never tried playing it.
You have 1 year from today to impress
I've never
me.
Heard a good oboe player.
I have.
I'm kidding. I love oboe.
But yeah, I mean, there were like for the more intense scenes. Yeah, there was definitely like what I felt should have accompanied the very beginning. Yeah, instead of it was like you know some really cool.
Wait,
how did that go again? What?
How did that piece go again?
I'm not gonna do it unless you give me points.
Okay.
But anyways,
everyone gets 4 points for that.
Yes.
I'd like to point out Stephen did nothing.
I'd like to point out Michael's tattling.
That's true, actually.
-4 points for everyone.
see what you did,
except
Michael?
Except me.
We had a net change of zero, which is where we were at before the bet. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got that metal clangy sort of thing for the more tense episodes, like in the deep piano that is sort of the stuff you would hear in some of his more well-known scores, like for Titanic and all that. But
there's actually... I agree. I think the soundtrack was mostly out of place. I think the two scenes in which Redford and Kingsley are confronting each other, you know, in his office and then again on the roof, it plays a similar piece both times. And that's actually, you know, it's a very simple piece, but it's quite nice. And it fit the tone much more emotionally correctly than most of the other score did. So it has its moments, is what
I would give you grammar points if I were the judge.
For what?
Emotionally correctly. You nailed that on a grammatical scale. Good job, man.
-100 points for Ryan.
For you?
You still got that +4, though.
So you got -146.
I'm on fire,
like that.
Yeah.
He's going to make a comeback.
He's on foire.
He is on foire.
I'm glad we got it.
We're all on foire.
We got to get one in.
Hey, guys.
I'm glad we all go.
Guys. Yeah. It's episode 4.
Don't say it.
I said to hold off till the end on that.
Screw you.
I didn't hear you.
I
clearly. The cat's out the bag.
That's not.
I was expecting another four in there somewhere.
Cat's out the four bag.
Can we talk about the relevance of this movie? Once I figured out. Yeah. So I said this in the middle of the movie. At the beginning of the movie, it starts in a college campus in the middle of like a deep blizzard.
And I thought you were going to say the deep south.
Deep south.
With that blizzard.
With that blizzard. Totally out of place. And they're like, well, what do we do here? No, and I was going to make a really bad punny joke where he walks out to his car and his car is covered in snow. And I was going to be like, hey, he's snowed in. Like Edward Snowden. And then be like, that was a stupid pun. I'm going to watch the movie. But then movie took a left turn, and it's all about the NSA or people pretending
to be the
NSA. I was
at the beginning, the guy from, well, it turns out he's not from the NSA, but the guy was like posing it as an NSA agent. Is like, we don't deal in domestic surveillance. And I was just like
even at the end when they were with the real NSA, they're like, you would just use this against other Americans. And I'm like,
maybe.
They were trying to warn us.
They knew it was coming.
I thought this was like a prequel to real life. They get the box and now they can like hack into any computer and monitor any. They're probably listening right now.
They're probably crashing
airplanes. They're not like hacking in. They're just avid fans of From
they're
Under
just,
a Rock.
Yeah, they subscribe to the podcast.
I love the idea of a prequel to real life.
are you saying that like the world didn't exist before we were born?
Yes.
Oh, well,
prior to
that's kinda high
the prequel to real life is just the primordial stew before the Big Bang.
Just the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, or that's what happened before the Big Bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Theory.
God.
Yeah.
Debate open.
did
the 80s happened before the Big Bang Theory.
This is the challenge for this week.
Convince me that the 80s came first. Guys, comment. Let us know what you think. We'll get to it next week.
Whoever debate closed.
Debate closed. You have no warning.
Whoever draws the best depiction of the 1980s preceding the Big Bang will get any sentence you want read on this podcast.
Any sentence at all.
Any
it can be
sentence.
A run-on that lasts forever.
Any sentence.
It has to be able to be said in one breath.
Any sentence that is grammatically correct.
Okay, so is that the cutoff is...
Wow, you're all about the grammar tonight.
The cutoff is it has to be within one breath. So we can take a big breath, but, you know, make it fun.
Can we do tag outs?
Sure.
So four breaths total.
Four breaths. You make it as long as that.
Yeah.
Some of us have different lung capacities.
It sounds pretty fun to me.
Most of us. All of us.
Yeah, you have to listen to the podcast and calculate when we breathe and figure out our lung capacities and how long we can talk off of that.
I had like the best, you know those safety briefings they do before you take off in a plane? And how they're like so rehearsed and like,
do I? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you insert the buckle to the metal flap. I had like the funniest woman reading that. She just like went off, like off script. She was like, to buckle your seatbelt, do this. To unbuckle, do that. In case of a change in air pressure, this will kind of put the mask on and breathe normally. And she just breathes into the microphone.
Oh, wow.
That was. That's what she did.
Was that a demonstration of normally?
That was
or
a demonstration of like normally versus not normally. But like the entire cabin was like, yeah. like she was making jokes.
Like
I loved
2 weeks before she's out the door, probably. She just does not give a shit anymore.
I'm too old for this job. I'm going to add some breathing noises. That'll show them for employing me.
Oh, man. All right. Let me see. What did I have here for notes? I kind of went from a bank heist movie, perceived a bank heist movie, because
it starts off that way.
Robert Redford's character gets at the beginning gets paid to break into banks to prove that, you know, they have flaws in their systems, they need to rectify that. And you're like, oh, okay, this is going to be, you know, a bank heist movie. And it kind of turns into, by the end of the movie, with Ben Kingsley's big old spiel on the roof, it kind of turns into a statement about the information war, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just thought it was very interesting and also, like, way deeper than I was expecting the movie to go, even though it was a little contrived.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, deep in terms of how much content they were trying to shove in there. But the way it was delivered was just...
Yeah, it was a little too heavy-handed at the end. Yeah. It was like, well, if you wanted it to be about that, you should have made it about that.
Kind of Bulworth-y, I would say, actually.
Yeah, I can see it.
I was just... Plus 2 points for Ryan.
negative 144.
Digging your way out of the hole.
It's making a comeback. You were talking about Information Society, and Ryan, you said your favorite scene was it where the blind guy is sonically mapping?
Yeah.
My favorite scene also, like, he's kind of the star of the scene, is when they first get the code up and running on the black box, and then they're able to like hack into everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
that was a really cool one.
I was going mad with power just watching. I was like, you could just do anything. You could give yourself as much money. Reroute flights.
That was actually a really nicely edited scene.
Yeah.
Cause we have Dan Aykroyd's character.
I know, he's hilarious.
You can't see it right now, but we all have our hands for some reason.
We haven't talked about Dan Aykroyd much, but he was in this movie.
He was busting ghosts.
He's kind of freaking... Oh, wait, no, it was Sidney Poitier, actually.
Cyber Ghosts.
Who was kind of freaking out, saying, shut that machine off. The soundtrack actually does have that rare...
Right, it's got
climactic
a nice
build-up moment. You know? And then there's the line that's kind of the button for the scene, is when... Whistler says, anyone want to crash a couple of commercial airliners?
And you're like, whoa.
Like, whoa,
yeah, Whistler. Whistler.
Post 9/11 world. Don't say that.
Here's the thing, though. When they're looking through the contents of the black box, you can see the very early prototypes of the iPhone, like way before it was even a real thing.
Quick little Easter egg. You've got to go frame by frame. But
huge,
you can see it.
Huge foreshadowing. They're like, hey, guys, like, 13, 14 years from now,
phones are going to be pretty neat.
We'll get a time code for you and put it in the comments or something.
He throws a cell phone in that movie. I was like, whoa, this is the early 90s. Those are like $1,000.
And it's right a huge. Big old brick.
Yeah.
Well, he thought he was getting $175,000.
But could that buy didn't two happen. Cell phones with that.
He could buy two whole big brick cell phones.
All right. I think it's about time that we rate this movie. What do you guys say?
James? Oh, before we do that, I also wanted to say it's already kind of gone without saying, I guess, but the characters had little to no arc.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just wanted to include that.
Also,
they were just kind of fun.
Yeah, they were fun, they're but fun they didn't change
they
at
didn't
all.
Do much, yeah.
Before ratings, I have one more thing.
More before ratings? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Just real quick, everyone, what's your favorite heist movie?
Sneakers.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of heist movies, actually.
Like the one that I think of is Ocean's 11. That's
yeah
probably the best one I can think of off the top of my head. Did you have another one in mind?
The Town is really good.
Oh, I never saw that one.
But also Trailer Park Boys Countdown to Liquor Day. Their full length feature.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah. Both things you should see.
Maybe
Steven,
you should
go first.
There's an episode of Star
no,
Trek.
No, James, you go first.
Okay. Where they hold... No, actually, in the new Star Wars... Or Star Wars. In the new Star Trek...
They're the same now.
They technically kind of hijacked the enemy ship.
They heist.
The big Enterprise.
The money is the frozen...
Benterprise.
The bigger Enterprise, Benterprise?
The Benterprise.
The Benterprise.
I'm going to go with Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay, you know what I want to do is do a hyperdrive video where, you know, Enterprise rent a car. Oh, you got a problem with your car? Enterprise will pick you up. You go outside by the curb and you wait for the car, but instead you just get beamed up.
Like Space AAA?
I don't know where else to go.
Space AAA.
Then that's really short. I'm done.
What's your favorite ice movie?
I'm out.
Tie between The Italian Job and Ocean's 11. It's been years since I saw either, so I'd have to watch them both to
well,
have
you,
a definitive answer.
Well, you said
answer.
The Italian Job, so The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Mini Coopers.
Or any Julia Roberts movie because she steals our hearts.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Let's do ratings.
Eat, Pray, Love is the best heist movie. I love it.
Witty dialogue.
Yeah, there was that.
I actually really enjoyed the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted to put that in there, too.
Yeah, it was a fun movie, I thought.
For sure. Ratings.
So, let's final thoughts?
You wanna go that's it? That was my final thought.
Okay. So what's your rating?
Oh, well, let's see. Thought it was a very fun movie. As I said before, characters had a little
more
to
final
arc.
Thoughts.
More the same final thoughts that we just went over.
Just give us a letter.
I'm gonna have to give it. I'll give it an A-, actually.
Very nice. Yeah.
I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to. Like, because you know I had vague memories of it,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is probably one of those movies that isn't gonna hold up, and I was pretty much thoroughly enjoyed all the way through.
I also thought it held up in my memory as a solid movie. My rating, it's fluctuating between a B and a B minus for me, though. I think just because, you know, I did think it was a really fun movie, I think it's going to push it up to a B. So that's mine.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
The
I volunteer for very
me. I volunteer for
I volunteer for ratings.
I pull out a bow and arrow and start shooting, bullseyeing people. Because I'm.
That'd be great if she did
Dennis
that in that scene in that movie.
I volunteer for tribute.
Oh, Jennifer.
Shoots
Lawrence.
All the
you know what you did wrong.
Rich people from whatever district, and then it's a completely different movie. Great story. Great pacing. Like I said, it wasn't super in-your-face action. Not really much action at all. Maybe like 2 minutes worth if you put it all together.
The end scene is...
It's intense,
kind
but
of
it's
action,
it's
yeah.
Like they're crawling through some crawl spaces, but it's not like... No one's ever
oh,
fighting
yeah, it's
each
not
other.
Like fighting,
there's like...
Yeah.
You know, he's shooting a shotgun through the ceiling and the kid like falls through the ceiling. And that's about
Which,
it as in terms of like...
That's the blind guy driving the truck.
Blind guy driving
yeah,
the
that
truck.
Was, that was
so that's where
that
the rest of the 2 minute comes
yeah.
in.
That scene you're talking about with the shotgun is... Isn't that just a direct Die Hard ripoff, by the way?
The was that in the first Die Hard?
Shot? Yeah.
Shotguns through the ceiling?
Well, it's...
I know he crawls through
Bruce
the vents
Willis
a lot.
Is in the
yeah.
vent, and the guy, he's coming up. He doesn't actually
he's
shoot.
Like,
now
he's
I know
like
what a TV dinner
vents.
Feels like.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. No, I got it before. But it was a great lesson that even though it didn't have a bunch of action, I thought it was extremely compelling. A lot of cool characters, and I love their skills. I think the skills are the best parts of all the characters. Yeah. But like Michael said,
it's the most important part of any good heist movie is
what everyone brings to the table. Great cinematography. Scrabble pieces have never looked more interesting. I love that
That's
sequence.
Not true. You should check out. You should check out like my third ever short film.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
Words I did the music for that.
You did. Words with racially diverse friends.
It's like the
friends.
First thing we did together.
Yeah.
Aw.
No, I had to like sign off on that for that to air on TV.
Yeah.
Remember, you were like, no, it's fine because you don't actually see the whole word. And I was like, this provides like a comment on society, so I'm going to sign off on it. But like Michael said, there wasn't an arc when there was definitely room for the characters to have an arc. I thought it would have been great if the blind guy was afraid to do things like driving
drive
at the beginning. But like it all happened at once. Like if there was some setup for that at the beginning, like, hey, can you do this? Oh, no, I can't. I'm blind. Like, I can't.
Somebody throws him the keys.
Yeah.
Like, hey, shotgun.
Oh, wait, I forgot.
But there's like so many scenes where like he's like he knows they move into like a new apartment. They move into the girl's apartment. And he's like he walks around like he knows the place, like he can see it. Anyways, I'm too much tangent. No more time for that. There could have been room for arc. I'm gonna say solid B plus.
Okay.
All right. Well, that leaves me.
I think we're stuck at a B plus between the three of us. Michael, it's all up to
the three of us.
Among the three. What did I say?
Between.
Grammar Nazi.
Minus 1 point. You know.
All right.
I set a precedent.
You set the president.
Recurring jokes. All right, Michael.
All right, so this movie, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It didn't like do it for me as a heist movie.
God,
because
I knew it. So typical.
I really like when heist movies have those like epic scenes, like where they're on a big scale, and the most epic scene in this was a slow motion like anti-run to get the black box, which entertained me thoroughly.
And Robert Redford's beautiful ass.
Yes. But I don't know. It was slightly above average, so I give it a C+.
Oh.
Okay.
That just brought the whole thing down.
God. Hate you.
Give me a minute.
You're
to calculate.
Slightly above average plus 5 points.
Thank you.
Was that a backhanded compliment?
Hey, man, that's all I want. All I've ever wanted is to be a 6 out of 10.
All right.
I think I'm getting there.
Definitely.
So what's our aggregate review score?
Talk amongst yourselves while I calculate.
You know what would solve this problem?
Well,
that
I actually,
math code.
I actually have, while Michael's doing that, I have a letter that I would like to read.
Is it from Daryl?
We should have theme music for
it's
letters.
From Steven.
Hey.
Different Steven.
Smile.
Steven.
I was like,
guy.
Don't write us a letter, Steven.
Yeah,
smiles,
really
you can
sad.
Write us a letter.
My letter says, how
want.
Many points do I get for writing in?
He says, I'm really excited that you got to start another podcast. From Under a Rock sounds great. And yes, Michael does get 20% more than the rest of the crew. 20% of zero is zero after all. Okay, I want to find out who this kid is and how he knows what our salaries are.
He has the code.
He has the code breaker.
He has the black box.
Oh my gosh,
guys! I just want you all to know that I guess that means that I make like infinity more than you guys because I've totally just been stealing like random coins I see lying around y'all's pockets.
Again, you gotta have
our pockets.
Yes, I'm inside your pockets and picking up your coins.
You gotta have the number from the movie.
You just said you were trying to find my tickle spot.
Did I not find it?
Steven continues, if I may. I recommend you guys watch the movie Food Fight. You guys heard of this one?
Is there an exclamation point at the end of it?
No.
Well, I'm
not in the letter anyway. It's one of, if not the worst movie in existence.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad movies.
I think we'll be the judge of that.
Don't we want to keep it under a rock, if that's the case?
Or if not, Shawshank Redemption, Gran Torino, How to Train Your Dragon, and The Fox and the Hound are very good movies to watch.
Oh, okay. My gosh. Well, I will cry at Fox and the Hound every time.
I will say that if I win tonight, one of those might get picked.
Thanks for
that's
writing,
a little
Steven.
Teaser. That's
thank
what
you. Not,
you're
not
welcome.
You, Steven.
No, anytime.
Smile, Steven.
I'll
he's Steven. You're Steuben.
Steuben Suburban.
Stupid. Yeah, before we started this
and
one,
everyone stopped listening. At, what are we, 48 minutes in?
We before the podcast, we somehow came up with the nickname for Steven, Steuben Zarita. I think that should stick, actually.
Steuben Suburban.
Suburban.
Steuben Suburban. Suburban.
Sorry. So right, that
Michael,
might be a new thing.
Michael, what's our review scores?
Our aggregate score, you had it right, Ryan. It's a B.
I think James, I didn't say anything.
You gave it a B.
Oh, did I?
I'm just saying your rating ended up being our finished rating.
No surprise there. all right, very cool. I think that's what it should have gotten. So
clearly.
I'm happy about that.
You know what? It's what it got. It has been unrocked.
I call shenanigans.
here, why don't you tell us what our point scores are at now as well?
Our point scores in last place with -144 points.
44.
This week's Four God, Ryan.
Don't worry, guys. I got this.
I'm golf clap.
In third place with -2 points. Steuben Suburban.
Who's that guy? Oh, that's me.
Alternatively, Steven Barista. And in first place, tied with 4 points apiece, James and Michael.
Me.
How much do you guys have?
We have 4 each.
Oh, okay.
I thought I was tied with Ryan.
4 to Steven's -2.
2.
Okay. Wow. Pretty tight. Pretty tight. I guess it means it's time for the challenge.
Challenge. That was actually the sound bite for Dolby Digital.
That's true.
It's copyrighted.
We have to bleep that.
It's just gonna be a big long.
Today's challenge.
Nah, that's not. That's crap.
I'm sorry for wasting all of your time with that, but we had to.
I think it was thoroughly enjoyable.
So
like sneakers,
if I may.
Yeah.
In keeping, I thought last week's challenge was a resounding success.
Woo!
Steven's. A challenge to us was an improvisational Power Rangers scene, which
it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. I think I'm sort of taking this to a step further, I guess.
The next level.
The next
might
level.
You say?
The next level of improvisation, where you are no character except yourself.
Oh, I like this.
We are going to be playing a game that. I believe the four of us are some... James might not be, actually. But you are, on some level, familiar with this game.
Okay.
The game goes by many names. Some call it Mafia. Some call it Werewolves.
Some call me Tim.
We have to send this to some, but a good friend of ours.
I have in my hands 3 pieces of paper with certain rules. In our village, our little... With the Fortress of Solitude. The
Fortress of Solitude.
I will be narrating the scene. In our Fortress of Solitude, we have a werewolf intruder as well as 2 humble villagers, peasantins. If you will now open your papers and read your...
I would like to backtrack a small bit to say 2 things. 1, great heist movie I forgot, Bandits, starring Bruce Willis.
Don't know it.
And Billy Bob Thornton. And 2, the city that Sneakers took place in, San Francisco, who's their football team? The 49ers.
Very, very good points, Michael. Very. I'm so
Any
glad
last
we back.
Minute points?
No.
No.
Okay.
Of course, the goal for the werewolf is to convince the villagers that he is not a werewolf. The goal of the villagers is to find and kill the werewolf. But that does not necessarily... you, of course, will get points based on whether you win or lose. But I really want to see how well you guys lie to each other. That's my goal in doing all of this.
I'm about love, not war, so I would rather lie with them.
Michael's a werewolf.
I'm going to go ahead and say Michael's the werewolf.
Why do you think I'm a werewolf?
I'm assuming something. We're not doing this go to sleep and wake up. We're
something
just
about the hairy arms.
Right in the round. Okay.
You're so much hairier
actually,
than me.
Actually, that's true.
If we're going on appearances, fact. I am the least werewolf.
I don't know. We could all potentially
we
be
are
werewolves.
All, yeah, we all have pretty
can
well, hairy
can we
arms.
Say we are gonna, all werewolves?
I'm going to go ahead and say
no,
I'm
you,
a trust.
You cannot.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm a trustworthy villager in the Fortress of Solitude here. Because my residence is in the chamber with all the science things and stuff. Like, I'm not allowed to touch any of them, obviously. But, you know, that's why they put me down there. I'm a trustworthy guy. Look at this face. Look at this guy's.
What's funny is that I've never played this game with you before, so it's very hard to read you. But I know you as a person.
Mm-hmm. And?
Exactly. Steven, are you a werewolf?
I'm not. I'm trying to figure out which one of you two are.
This would be really nice if we had that, what was it, that lie detector machine that they were using
in
the
sneakers. Movie? The vocal lie detector?
Yeah, exactly.
Passport.
I love that scene also,
passport.
By the way.
He's lying! He's got 5 seconds! Cut it off!
Cut him off! Hang up! Steven, are you a werewolf?
I am a humble villager, a sick villager.
What do you do?
Right now,
in
I
the
just
fortress of
lie
solitude.
In bed because I'm sick.
I'm a baker.
You hear that?
I'm a baker. And he's sick with werewolf.
Why does the Fortress
werewolfitis.
Of Solitude? Why does the Fortress of Solitude need a baker?
If we're going by like Superman Fortress of Solitudes, I'm pretty sure there's like food. You know what? Superman doesn't need food. I'm Superman.
Here's the thing.
I'm Superman.
You're not a villager, you're Superman.
We need a baker because I make carbs. Carbs give us energy. Energy we fight werewolves with.
Well, that's true, but but You're saying you're sick, Steven.
I'm sick.
Okay, well
with
then
a Kryptonian
I'd
flu.
I'd say that he's sick with werewolfitis.
I'd say you're
the inflammation
wrong.
Of the werewolf.
I really don't know how to read you, James.
I know.
You're not the werewolf.
I'm not the werewolf.
I'm not the werewolf.
I've suspected Steven the whole time because I've played with him before, and you can tell with his.
Oh
eye
my
contact.
Gosh, Michael's a werewolf. Last time Shay did this. Shay knows how to read me really well, a friend of ours, and he always gets it right. One time he said, this guy's a werewolf, and I was a villager, and I said, he knows me too well to think that I'm a werewolf when I'm actually a villager. He's the werewolf. Michael, you're one of those people who can read me well because we played this game a lot. You calling me out saying I'm a werewolf tells me you're the werewolf.
No, it's because you get really defensive.
We're getting all meta now.
All right, time to vote. my random number generator says we are going to start the voting with James.
I'm going to say that the werewolf is none other than our very own Michael Ornelas.
You just lost us the game.
Did I?
Michael.
We're obviously voting for each other.
Yeah. Do we want to just say that? I vote for Michael. Michael votes for me.
Or we could both vote for James.
Michael, Michael, it's your turn.
I really think it's you. You think wrong. Your thoughts betray you.
Steven, put your finger down. You don't have a vote yet.
He's doing the whole, Danny's not here, Mrs.
Michael,
Darnes.
Put your finger up. You have a vote.
Your thoughts betray you.
Michael.
I'll vote for James.
Well, now we're just... No, wait. 1-1. Yeah, we're in a...
So Steven gets to decide.
1-1. Oh, so I don't have any votes. Okay, I'm going to vote. I really don't know how to read James. I'm going to go with Michael. Based off of prior logic.
Michael, you've been killed. What are you?
I'm the werewolf.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah! High five, high five.
Woo!
Oh, man. Oh, man. I ever since that game, that one game that I was referencing, I was like, I know how to pick out who's the werewolf if I know the person.
So how did you follow Steven's logic line there? Did you think he was pretty accurate?
Not necessarily.
No.
But do you get the logic?
I had to try and turn them against each other, and I honestly thought James was going to vote for Steven.
I was close, but no offense, I don't think you're that good of a liar.
Oh, no, I am not. That's why when I'm a villager and I'm clearly the villager because I can't lie about being anything other than what I am and someone says I'm the werewolf, I know that person's the werewolf.
That's but true. In a three-person game, it's kind
of
tough.
It's easy to pick out. It works best with people I know extremely well, like that friend of ours. I was like, no, he reads me too well to say I'm the werewolf when I'm not. He's the werewolf. That's the only situation he would lie in.
Okay, I'm going to try and award some points now.
Everybody put your hands in the air and everybody wave like you just don't care.
Here we go. Points time, guys. Points time. Get excited. James, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to award you 30 points.
Damn. All right.
You just seem to be kind of out of reach for most of the game. You were never actually in danger, and I have to commend you for that. Whatever you did, it seemed to work. And
I
you
think
know, maybe
just
maybe
not
it's, maybe
having
it's the
played.
Fact that yeah, Michael couldn't read you. Maybe you had that to your benefit.
Stephen couldn't
it worked,
either.
It worked in your favor. Stephen, I'm going to give you 20 points because you know what? I'm going to say 25.
Okay.
Because. Well, I was going to say because when asked what kind of village you were, you hesitated. You couldn't come up with a profession. You went with sick villager.
You see, I never thought that added any value to the game, making up. At the end of the day, you're a villager, you're a villager, you're a
it
villager.
It doesn't, but it's an improvisational
it's
game.
It's fine, I guess. I'm always just in it to see who's the werewolf or not, but I'll take 25 points.
But you did have... I really thought like you were the werewolf the whole time, especially when you spouted your whole... logic line about why you thought Michael was the werewolf, which just didn't make it much sense to me at all.
Really?
But when you said it, no when sense you said you? It, I couldn't follow it, honestly.
Can
when
I explain this logic?
Hold on,
no, no,
when
no,
you talk in this game, no matter who you are, you tend to implicate yourself. That's the biggest problem with werewolves.
It was to me, it was when you said, no, I'm not. I'm trying to figure out which one of you two is. I mean, obviously you weren't a werewolf, so...
So you should trust
worked,
me.
But... It's a weird thing to say.
You should trust me. I'm a trustworthy guy. Who called it right, I might add. Without a doubt.
Michael, on our fourth episode, I'm going to give you 44 points.
Oh. An additional 44 or a total of 44?
An additional 44.
Nice.
Because while you did indeed lose the game, I thought you played it the best out of the three.
Oh. You and I judge werewolves so differently. So differently. I'm the one who calls them out, but the guy who loses wins. Oh.
Hey, man. It's
a dirty game.
Did or did not the Power Rangers defeat me last week?
They did. I don't see where you're going.
What's the final score?
The final score at negative 144 points are Four God of the Week. You guys like that term?
Four God?
Four God.
Sure. No, the Mighty Four.
Well, that's the four of us.
No, well, I thought... Well, no, that would be the horsemen. Fantastic Four. The Mighty Four is like Thor.
Okay. In third place with
I really thought I could... I just want to say I really thought I could pull it out there, guys. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
It was in the bag. It was in the bag.
It was 23 points for Steven. Sorry. Steuben.
Steuben Suburban.
Suburban. In second place with 34 points, James.
Woo.
And your winner.
Bam, bram, bram, dun, dun.
I did not expect theme music, but I will take it. With 48 points, yours truly, Michael Ornelas. Thank Woo! You, guys.
I'm bitter about this.
Yeah, me too.
Fuck that guy. I won the game, but I
he
got
the
least
werewolf.
Points.
We both won
well,
the
maybe.
Game.
Wait, who was. No, it was you who totally. Didn't give me points for my Tim Curry impression. That was
so. This was revenge for me winning.
This was revenge.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Yeah, and then you beat me with your Ronald Weasley.
Ronald Weasley.
It made me laugh the most. That was really it.
All right, guys.
What is our movie for the next week going to be, Michael?
Our movie for next week, unless you all have seen it,
okay,
is a little film called Star Wars.
Yeah.
Have you guys all seen it?
I have.
Yes.
I actually.
Oh, my God. Steven?
Yeah.
Never mind.
You should have said no.
No, I can't deny. Okay, now in a couple of years, when you say Star Wars 7, I'll be like, no, I've never seen that. Guys, and I won't be there that week.
Guys, our pick for next week is the pilot episode of Twin Peaks.
Yes! I'm wanting to watch it for so long.
I have seen it.
Wait, have you not seen it?
No. James has not seen it.
Okay, so that works.
Michael and I have seen it.
Is this our first 3-in-1?
Oh, wait, so I'm the only one who hasn't seen it?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Oh, Steven, you've seen it too.
Oh, shit.
Years ago in a film class. Wow, okay. Like my freshman year film class. And I barely remember it.
Next week will be our first episode where one person hasn't seen it.
Okay. That's totally fine.
I feel like such a lame loser.
He's excited about it, though.
I really want to watch it.
So I just wanted to do a quick recap now that the first cycle of From Under a Rock is coming to a close. How many rocks each of us were brought out from under? James.
I'll start with you. Bulworth, okay. Sneakers, Bulworth. Rocky Port, Horror no, Picture Show, and Big Trouble in Little China are our movies.
Okay, one more time.
Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Bulworth, Sneakers, and Big Trouble in Little China.
Two rocks. I had not seen Big Trouble in Little China or Bulworth.
Okay.
Steven.
3 for me. Every Ooh. Movie except mine I had not seen.
Huh. 2 for me. Sneakers and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It was 2 for me as well. Bulworth and Big Trouble Little China.
Well, thanks, guys.
So Steven is our big winner or loser. I don't know.
Well, he's now among... He's on the rock with us.
I'm out of the rock.
He's on the rock. You're out of the rock?
I'm not under it.
Okay. Whatever preposition you prefer.
You were under so many rocks, though.
I was under 3.
What are you doing?
I was underneath all those 3 rocks. I was on top of 1 rock.
You lost a couple limbs in the process.
Okay, so if you guys want to talk about Twin Peaks with us next week, be sure to write in. You can tweet us at FUA Rock Podcast. You can write in to FUARock@gmail.com. I'm trying to say this as carefully as I can.
And Tumblr.
Tumblr is FUARock.tumblr.com. Is that it? Is there anything else? Yeah, I think that's enough.
That's it for now. And guys, hit that subscribe button.
My phone number
button.
Is...
Hit that share button while you're at it. Tell your friends. We're fun. Yeah. We can accommodate multiple people here, I think.
Steven, what can we expect from Hyperdrive in the coming week?
Well, in the video we released this week, I talked about how we're sending our camera in for repairs, but that doesn't mean we don't have content for you guys.
Our what?
Our camera for repairs. The speaker on my camera is broken, sending it in. But none of y'all were here. I'm the only one who was on that shoot. So a while back, we did a video with Professor Puppet with Michael and Sasha. But before that, we had filmed most of that video with Wes and Sasha. So we kind of have some unreleased footage that no one has ever seen before. So we're going to open that up out of the Hyperdrive vault. And you might get to see...
From out of the vault.
From out of the vault. Different podcast.
Okay.
But you'll get to see some never-before-seen footage.
Part of the Hyperdrive Pictures podcast network.
I think I might put Wes's face on Michael's face for the rest of the movie where Michael's in it.
I'd be up for seeing that.
Can you animate his mouth my line?
That's how I do it at work. Yes. I was like, I could do this.
Nice.
That's what you do expect.
Well, that
Wonderful.
Wraps
Thank
up.
Thank you, Steven.
That wraps up episode
That's
4.
That's going to be the end of cycle 1 of From Under a Rock. Woo! Let's go around the table one last time.
Claps all around. I'm James McAnally.
I'm Steven Zurita.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
I'm Steven Zurita.
He's Steuben Suburban.
Steuben Suburban.
Steven Zurita.
I'm Michael Ornelas.
I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for
From Under a Rock.
I almost missed it.
Rock.
Rock.
Paper.
Scissors.
Rock. I want rock. Rock. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Hey.
We're going to get sued if I say any more.
I don't think enough people listen.
We already have a theme song. What are you doing, James?
Sorry.